Heavenly Father. May it not be my words, but your words. May your Holy Spirit speak to each one of us this morning. We need you. And we desire to be in your presence and to know your will for us. So we thank you, Father God, for this opportunity to study your word and to learn from the things you have shared with your people throughout centuries. We ask your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, our young people mentioned one of these elements that we can use to know God's will. And I would like to develop it just a little bit more. I believe it's important for us as Christians who live in this time. And they shared with us that it's prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting help us to understand, to know God's will for us today in the 21st century. I don't know about you, but I want to know God's will. Amen? I want to follow him because I know what he has for me is always the best. And we can just rejoice in knowing that. My sister was sharing with me an experience. They live in Chico, California. They had their pastor transferred to another church. They were looking for a pastor. It's a district, so there's three other churches that this pastor had under him. And the conference offered three names that they could choose from. Three names that they could have as a pastor for their district. And she told me the one thing that they did was to fast and pray. And she told me that when each church got together to choose that one name, without talking to each other, they all chose the same name. So this was God moving in a powerful way. And we just saw God's Holy Spirit present in this decision. As we know, prayer is something that we are invited to do. Scripture tells us to pray without ceasing. And I like the story that Linda shared with us this morning because, yes, perseverance does pay off, doesn't it? They persevered in prayer to continually pray does bring a difference in our lives. But what is it that happens that sometimes we kind of get discouraged or sometimes we cease to pray and don't pay too much attention to what God is telling us in his word? And I came up with some ideas as to why some Christians today don't pray enough and don't pray without ceasing. Some might think God is not interested in what I have to say. I talk to people around me, and they're not interested in what I have to say. So why would God be interested? But is God interested in what we have to say? In fact, he knows how many hairs we have on our head. That's how interested he is in us. And he invites us all to come before him, to share with him our prayer request. Some might think God can't do anything about it. Imagine the creator of heaven and earth. Is there anything impossible for him? In fact, Jesus tells us, whatever seems impossible for man, for God, all things are possible. Some might think it's too late and therefore useless to ask. They might feel discouraged because of lost time, lost opportunities. But the Bible tells us that in Christ, there are always new opportunities. Amen? He is the answer that we need. Some might think it's impossible. What I'm asking for just can't happen. Tell that to Moses, to Esther, to Daniel, to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They all prayed, and God answered their prayers. Some might think, I'm not worthy. I'm just not worthy to ask. And who here today is worthy to ask anything of God? Only Jesus is worthy. And he invites us to ask in his name. Not because of who we are, but because of who God is. Amazing, amazing God. Some might not know how to pray. How do you pray? In fact, Jesus' disciples asked Jesus, show us how to pray. And God is willing to put words and thoughts into our minds so that we can speak with him, so that we can share openly with him. Some might not know what to ask for. And this is why we always pray, God, your will be done. Because maybe what we're asking for is not really what we need. But God is wise, and he always gives us the best. He always gives us what we need. And some might not feel like praying. Don't want to pray. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation, but there comes a time where you just don't feel like praying. And I think of the disciples all gathered with Jesus. And Jesus asked if they would just pray with him for 1 hour. And they all said, we want to, but we just had supper. And we're sleepy. And we just can't. An hour is just too much, God. But God can give us the strength, the patience to pray. Amen? If we ask. And especially in those moments where we don't want to pray, that's when we definitely have to pray. Those moments where we don't feel like it, we should just ask, God, help me at this moment. I need your help. The good news is that prayer is still as effective today as it was in Moses, Daniel, and Jesus' time. Amen? That's what the Bible tells us. And this is why I believe Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. Especially in the times that we're living in. And we might ask ourselves, what does that mean to pray without ceasing? And some might even think, you know, I've prayed and prayed and my prayers just seem to hit the ceiling. I don't get any answers to my prayers. I just want to give up. But there's a little book that brings in lots of scripture called Steps to Christ. And there's a chapter in that book called The Privilege of Prayer. And in this chapter, we find 7 guidelines to make our prayer more effective. And I would like to share that with you this morning. 7 ways how we can make prayer more effective in our own life. And we're going to start here. I forgot to turn this on, but we'll turn it on in 1 second here. There we go. I'm going to put it on the screen. See if, do you see anything there? Not yet. There we go. Do you see something? Very good. Practical guideline number 1. We must have something to say to him concerning our actual life. Is that too hard to do? What does God want to hear? Does he want to hear the same prayer over and over and over again? Or does he want to know how we're doing today? Does he want to know how we're feeling today? Does he want to know about our dreams, our goals? That's what he wants to know about. As some of you know, I just got back from a trip to Mexico City where we went to see family. And part of my family is Adventist, part of my family is Catholic. And we were with our family, we were non-Adventists, and we got together, and we were eating, and we were sharing at that moment. And one of them said, Samuel, how do you pray? How can you pray for something? And I started to share the Lord's Prayer, a prayer that everyone knows. And I started to break it down and then share, and I started to hear everybody around the table just listening in. Do you think they wanted to know how to pray? They wanted to know too. How does God answer our prayers? And I shared with them, you can just speak to God as to a friend. Just share with him what you're feeling and share with him your challenges and your doubts. And she would listen and listen and listen. And when I got to the end of sharing what prayer is according to Scripture, she shared, you know what? I had this huge challenge, and I didn't know how I was going to solve it. There was no way, humanly speaking, that this was going to be solved. And I brought it before God. I just put it in his hands. I said, God, I have this problem. I need your help. And I stepped back and waited. I didn't know what was going to happen. And with tears in her eyes, she said, God answered my prayer. God answered my prayer. She was so happy to know that there is a God who cares. Who cares about what you think. Who cares about what you feel. Who cares about the things you care about. And he's always ready to listen. Next guideline that I find in this incredible chapter, we must feel our need from him. Very important, we must feel our need from him. What does this mean? It means that I cannot rely on my wisdom, my strength, my ideas. But I have the great privilege, like that title of the chapter, the privilege of prayer, to go before the wisest of all beings, the most powerful of all beings. And I can bring before him my problems. Is there anything God can't solve? In fact, death, a problem that we all human beings have, he can solve. And he solved it in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amazing what God has done to solve these conundrums that we have, these difficulties that we have. And he invites us to come before him, to recognize our need of him. The next thing that we find is we must have faith. What does that mean? That's a pretty loaded word, faith. It means to trust God. To believe that he can do it. And if he doesn't do it, it's because he knows best. He knows what's best for us. And we can trust him. There's a passage in this chapter of Steps to Christ that reads like this. Through sincere prayer, we are brought into connection with the mind of the infinite. We may have no remarkable evidence at the time that the face of our Redeemer is bending over us in compassion and love. But this is even so. We may not feel his visible touch, but his hand is upon us in love and pitying tenderness. Amen? Amen. God is with us. His presence, he's bending over us. And I can only imagine a parent, a father, a mother bending over the crib of their baby. Just wanting to help. And sometimes the baby doesn't even notice dad and mom are around and they're crying like there's no tomorrow. In the same way, God constantly wants to bend over to help us in our greatest time of need. The next practical guideline that I find in this book, we should have a spirit of love and forgiveness in our own hearts. That's sometimes difficult. Do we all need forgiveness? We all need it. Are we all willing to forgive others? It becomes a little harder there. Pastor, if you only knew. But God invites us to forgive others like he has forgiven us. In fact, that's how the Lord's Prayer finishes. If we want God to forgive our sins, we need to be willing to forgive others' people's trespasses. And Jesus told the parable of a man, a rich king who had given a loan to two men, and one of them had a $1 million loan that he could not pay back, and he asked the king for mercy. And the king forgave him his debt. Well, when he went out, he found another man who owed him pennies, a few cents, and he was not able to pay him either. And he said, well, you have to go to jail. And I believe what Jesus was trying to tell us there is, again, the golden rule. Do unto others as you want God to do unto you. And so one important condition, one important way of our prayers being answered, especially when it comes to forgiveness, we should also have a spirit of love and forgiveness in our own hearts. We must persevere in prayer. That's what Paul was saying. Pray without ceasing. And when you think of that, you might think, whoa, does that mean to just constantly be praying in our mind or constantly be listening to God? And I believe prayer has both elements of speaking but also of listening. And I think of the story of Samuel. Do you believe Samuel prayed without ceasing? I believe he did. And the reason why is because when he was just a little boy, God spoke to Samuel. Said, Samuel, Samuel. And he got up and he went to Eli and said, are you calling me? He says, no, I'm not calling you. Go back to sleep. And he went back and tucked himself in and went to sleep. And he heard again, Samuel, Samuel. Got back up, went back to Eli. Eli, are you calling me? And that's when Eli realized, no, it's not I, but it's God who's calling you, Samuel. Respond in this way. When God called Samuel again, he woke up again and said, speak, Lord, that your servant listens, that your servant heareth. Samuel was willing and ready at any time to listen to God's voice. Was that a convenient time for him? Maybe not. Right in the middle of the night. Have you been woken up by God? Yes. And are you ready to listen? God wants us to persevere in prayer, not to cease. And I think of pilots. Pilots who are taking us from one city to another. And we think of them being constantly, we hope, communicating with others, be it with their flight crew, co-pilot, planes that are flying around, towers, control towers that they're flying over. They're constantly ready to listen when God is speaking to them. And so we also want to be ready to hear God at all times and persevere in prayer. The sixth condition, and this is almost the last one, we must ask in His name. And this is not just simply finishing our prayers in Jesus' name. The quote that I want to share with you is this one. To pray in the name of Jesus is something more than a mere mention of that name at the beginning and at the ending of a prayer. It is to pray in the mind and spirit of Jesus. While we believe His promises, rely upon His grace, and work His works. We are to pray in the same spirit of Jesus. We are to live our lives in the same way that Jesus lived His life. We are to work the same works that He worked. That's what it means to pray in Jesus' name. And God is inviting us in this time that we live in to test Him, to try Him, to ask things in His name. The last guideline that this chapter gives us is we need to praise Him. We like to ask, don't we? At least I do. I don't know about you. I like to ask God for this and for that, and I need help with this, especially with this. And sometimes I forget to praise Him. I forget to thank Him. Are there many reasons to thank God, brothers and sisters? We can praise His name all day long. Just for the fact that He gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? That He would give His life for us. There are many reasons to praise Him. But I think there's another important reason why we should praise Him. And I saw it this week. We have many graduates here. And I had the privilege of sitting up here in one of the graduations that we had. And I was looking as parents were listening to their daughter or son share with them their gratitude. And they were saying, thank you, Father, thank you, Mother, for the many years, for helping me with my homework, for doing this. And while they were saying those words, I was looking in their faces, the parents' faces. You know what I saw? I saw tears of joy. I saw smiles. I could see the parent just wanting to jump up and run and hug their son or daughter. It was beautiful. And I can imagine if we human beings get emotional when our children say nice things about us, when they thank us, imagine God who sees all things, who hears all things, who feels all things. Do you think he gets excited when we praise him? Is that something we as a church can do more? That's something we can do more. In fact, we are invited as a church to do this continually, without ceasing. And I believe this is why we're here today, amen? We're here to praise God. We're here to worship him. We're here to share with him our thoughts, our feelings. We're here to, as a church, corporately coming together. Prayer is important. Yes, we do this also as individuals. We want to. And there's things that nobody else should hear but God. And we share with him privately. But there's also a time when we can come together as a church. And I believe there is power in prayer, brothers and sisters, like nothing else. If there's something that I've learned, is the power of prayer to unite people. Much more powerful than working on a project. Much more powerful than living under the same household. Much more powerful than having the same background, the same likes, is the power of prayer to unite two people. And the reason why I can share this with you is because this coming month of July, I'm going to be married for 9 years. Amen? Amen. 9 years. Wow. Time flies. 9 years. Patrick, listen well. It's prayer. Carolina and I were not perfect. We got room to grow in our relationship. But what's kept us together, I believe, beside the prayers of our parents, is that time of prayer with one another, where we can open ourselves, not only to each other, we can open our thoughts, our feelings to God. And that consistency in prayer, and asking God to guide us, and asking God for protection, and asking God for wisdom, and asking God for patience, and asking God for love, and asking God for so many things that we human beings need. That has strengthened our relationship. And I believe that can strengthen our relationship as well. As we, church family, come together and pray together, these bonds become stronger. The unity becomes even more noticeable. And I want to share this last quote with you, also found in Steps to Christ, page 77. The Lord desires his children to take comfort in his service and to find more pleasure than hardship in his work. He desires that those who come to worship him shall carry away with them the precious thoughts of his care and love, that they may be cheered in all the employments of daily life, that they may have grace to deal honestly and faithfully in all things. When we come together, we come and we pray for one another, we share with one another, and we encourage one another to do our best in the coming week. And we do it so, I believe, in the context of what we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, I invite you quickly to just go there with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And if you read verse 1 of chapter 5, you get the context of what Paul is writing here to the church. And he says, just with one verse, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Paul is speaking here about the second coming, but the times that we are living in. And in the same chapter, as was beautifully read by Sierra, verse 16 tells us, in the context of the second coming, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen? Is God asking us something too difficult for the times that we're living in? Is that something we can all do? It's something that I would like to encourage you to do. As a church, we need to be praying for our nation. As a church, we need to be praying for our own church. As a church, we need to be praying for your leaders. We need wisdom like never before. We need strength like never before. And we can have it if we simply ask, if we pray. The Lord is willing to help us. So we want to take these words from the Apostle Paul, this time that we live in. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Amen.